I can tell you that all the teachers I had.
Well.
I had a Miss Peterson was my first grade teacher, and she was kind of an old crab, I would say. There was no one liked her very well. And then I had a Miss Anderson, which eventually turned out to be Mrs. Gagnier.
Oh.
She taught there for 2 years, and then she went to Easton. That's up in the mountains.
Oh.
Well, a little mill town up right. In east of the mountains.
Who were the Gagniers? I know the president's house.
Well, they gave their home to the college.
Oh.
The Gagnier house up here.
Right. I didn't know why it was named that. Who did they have a connection with PLU besides just...
No, it's just that they
gave their home.
Wanted to leave the school to a college, and that's what they did.
Wow, that was nice.
And she moved to Easton to teach in a one-room schoolhouse up there. And that's where she met Mr. Gagnier. He was a bookkeeper in the mill up there. And they got to go together, and finally they were married. And she told me this herself. I don't know. Excuse me. They were married, and she told me that he didn't have anything really to begin with. He's a bookkeeper, but every extra penny they could scrape up, they would buy timber, and that's where he made his money in buying this timber, and finally, after the mill closed down, then they come to Tacoma. And that's when they come out here and bought this place up here.
Oh.
It's quite a long story because I helped them quite a bit in their garden work and lawn work for a while. She recognized me as being one of the Smiths when they first moved out here. And so that's why we got to renew our acquaintance. She was a wonderful teacher, though.
So, your family was one of the first families in Parkland?
Yeah, my grandparents, of course, located here in 1853.
1853?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they took up a donation claim. That's a gift from the government, the state. Give them, they had 640 acres.
Wow.
And my granddad was, he was a Scotch, and he was from Scotland, and he had raised sheep in Scotland. So he, when they come here, they come to Wisconsin first. And then from Wisconsin, he come to Portland. And he'd heard so much about the big prairie or the plains. He meant it was the prairie here. Would be a good ideal spot to raise sheep, see, because it was all open, it wasn't grown up with trees and such bloom like it is now. And so he, from Portland, he come Steilacoom. Steilacoom was the main place there.
Hmm.
It wasn't Tacoma so much, it was Steilacoom. So he come up here to Steilacoom and finally got out here and saw that what an ideal spot this prairie was for to raise sheep. And of course they had the Clover Creek that come right. down through the prairie.
Hmm.
So right away he applied for the property and got the 640 acres, which included practically all of parkland, see.
Wow.
But all this, and this is part of the original property.
Hmm. Wow. That could be worth quite a bit now.
640 acres, that was a lot of land, see. That included all the, now this house up here, Sheeby, do you know Sheeby?
No.
Frank Sheeby's place. That house up here, that was my granddad's property there. And then the next property was my uncle. So the three brothers, my dad was William and George and Peter, and they all got a part of this 640 acres thing, which they improved and used to farm. We used to have cattle on it here. We had about 250 acres here, and that included all this woods.
Wow.
and we had cattle here.
Hmm. That's a big piece of land.
Yeah, yeah. 200 acres is a big piece of property. It didn't look like it does now. It is all grown up to, since not being farmed or used for stock, it's just grown up to brush and the water has always bothered us a lot, especially since McCord Field went in. McCord Field changed the drainage system so that it backs the water up on us in the fall, and so we can't do much with the property as far as gardening or anything.
Too much water.
But of course all these new houses going up, all I have here now is about 2 acres. When I first started to raise cattle here, I had close to 200 acres. Now all I have is 2 acres. I've sold it off, and there's homes all through here.
Yeah.
One of the fellows that works at the college lives just across this swampy piece here. Roselle.
He's a professor?
Yeah, I think he has charge of the grounds or something.
I don't know his name. That's, so your grandfather was
the first
Parklander.
Yeah.
So what do you say anyway, Parklander, Parklandite?
Pardon?
What do you call a person who lives in Parkland? Parklandian? Parklandite?
Parklandite, or I guess that's what you'd call. I've seen the college you grow to from just a very few students, maybe 30 or 40 students to, I don't know what the enrollment is now,
about
but it's
4,000.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I've known, I was a dentist in Tacoma for
Oh, really?
For about 40 years.
Oh.
Parkland, during the Depression, when things were really tough, I had an office in Tacoma, but I didn't have much of a practice. I just got through school, see?
Right.
So I was just starting up, and so I used to come out to Parkland. I had an office there on Garfield Street.
Oh, really?
That was in 1930. I had an office there 2 afternoons a week. And I didn't do much as far as money was, but I used to trade a lot of work for wood, chickens, eggs. My business was nearly all bartering, you know.
Wow.
Trading.
Yeah.
Dental work for. And I was there for about 4 years.
On Garfield?
If you know where this, let's see, it's the Glasso Hall. That was a little gift shop there on Garfield Street.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's closed up now.
I've heard that name, though. Glasso?
Huh?
I've heard that name.
Glasso.
Glasso.
G-L-A-S-S-O.
Who were they?
Where?
Who were the Glassos? I've heard their name.
Well, they're one of the first families located in Parkland. He was a stonemason, and he helped build the foundation for the old vein.
Oh.
And his daughter, Agnes, she is close to 90 years old, and she lives over here on 138. She is, she's not well at all. She's had a couple of strokes. But her name now is Lindgren, L-I-N-D-G-R-E-N. That's her name. Her husband died about 10 years ago, and she is 138.
Maybe I should.
You come across 138?
Yeah.
Well, she lives just, about 2 or 3 blocks this side of Pacific Avenue on 138. But I don't know as you could talk to her very much.
Mm.
She's in pretty bad shape.
So.
Well, if I could go into detail on all this, why did I make a book?
Well, maybe you should write one.
Huh?
Maybe you should write a book.
Yeah, I've had quite a life.
Really? Dentist and cattle rancher?
Yeah, I was the first dentist in Parkland. There's been quite a number of them now.
So would you say in the early years was PLA in the early years was PLA seen as a good thing in Parkland?
Oh yes, yeah. We've always supported the college, and even my parents, mother and dad, they thought the college was fine. In fact, I had an older sister that went there and took music.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That was way back in, 1920.
Yeah,
they always thought. And of course, mother used to belong to the women's society there. She used to get a big kick out of the you, of course, wouldn't remember the Stewards.
There's a building named after him.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a dormitory.
Yeah. Well, I knew both of them before they were married.
Wow.
When they were both students there at the college. And the Ramsteads and the... We used to call him Ranny. And Tito Stad, he was the president. That was about 19. I used to get a kick out of Tito Stad. He was the president, and there wasn't an awful lot of students, say maybe 100 or something like that. One of the students would get a toothache or something, and Tindall Stad would come over and say, "Now you take care of his toothache, and we'll see that you get paid for it." Well, I did that a good many times. I don't think I ever got paid for it. Tino Stab, and gee, I don't know. You think you forget names, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eastfold? The Eastfold?
Well, I wouldn't know now. Gosh. I looked through that book once in a while just to kind of. Heck to get old.
Well, I forget things too. Yeah. Would you say people in Parkland now see PLU as good?
Think
PLU?
Oh, I think so.
Really?
Well, practically all of the people in Parkland now are connected some way, aren't they, with the college?
I don't know. I think the people that are connected think PLU is great, but the others, I don't know.
Oh, I think so. I think Parkland is... Parkland wouldn't be Parkland if it wasn't for the college.
Hmm.
You know, at one time, Parkland was... there was lots of trees, lots of woods all around Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, at one time it wasn't all built up with buildings anymore.
Right. Yeah, I talked to one lady, and she was telling me about when she was a little girl and they'd play in the violet fields and in Clover Creek and stuff.
It was beautiful at one time. That's why it's named Parkland, see?
Oh.
Park-like, you know.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And, the prairie down here with a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Through the little lower spots along in the prairie, they would just be as blue as possible, with the violets that are blooming, you see, and wild strawberries.
Wow.
This time of the year, every year, we'd always go out and pick wild strawberries. And they were, of course, you probably never tasted them, but they were over there sometimes as big as my thumbnail. But they're just as sweet as could be.
Wow.
And then, of course, Clover Creek come right down below the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Tacoma used the water for the partial water supply in Tacoma. And it was a beautiful stream.
Fish?
Yeah, it was a great fishing stream.
Wow.
In the spring. Yeah, Clover Creek was famous for its nothing big, but nice little brook trout, you know. Mm. And even though the people at Tacoma use that for drinking water, we used to, on the way home from school, we would sit on the bridge over the creek and dangle our feet in the creek. Of course, the people of Tacoma didn't know that. Yeah. It was a beautiful stream. And it come down across that, kind of follow the edge of the hill around, and come down to, Spanaway Loop. And there, they had a what they called a filter. The water run into the one end of this big, long building. There's a building about 60 feet long, and it was filled with boxes of charcoal and gravel. And the purpose of that was to purify the water.
Right.
The charcoal and the gravel, and the water run through those boxes and then on out by a flume down to South Tacoma, and then it was taken into the city's water supply.
Wow. Does it...
My dad worked as a filter man. And that was, there were screens there where, that's Buster.
Okay.
He was burned on his back with hot coffee.
Oh no.
We were at a picnic and I had Buster tied with his chain to a card table, and there was some hot coffee on that, and he kind of tried to jerk away and dipped this hot coffee over onto it, and the hair never grew out again. He's been a wonderful dog, and his job as a filterman was to see that the water screens, they had screens there that the water run through.
Mm-hmm.
His job was to see that those screens were kept clean.
What did most people do in Parkland for work? Did they go into Tacoma, or?
To work?
Yeah.
Find work? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, the streetcars.
Right.
Come out here. Say they want to turn Spanaway.
Right.
Streetcar. And it's too bad they don't have them now, because they were nice cars.
Yeah.
Like big, big streetcars.
Yeah. It would save a lot of traffic.
Yeah. And they had in an early day, 1900, they had quite a accident with the streetcars. One of the streetcars run over the bridge down into the gulch. There was a lot of people killed.
Oh, really?
This Agnes Lindgren, Mrs. Glasso, two of her daughters were killed there on that in 1900, July the 4th.
Hmm.
Parkland was a beautiful place at the time. I had a lot of pictures, but I turned most of my pictures over to people out there.
They have quite a few pictures.
Have they?
So, yeah, they're part of this project in September. They're going to blow some of the pictures up and make a good display. That'll be nice. What would you say today, what are the good things about living in Parkland?
Well, the good things about living in Parkland? Well, Parkland's a sociable, I mean, you know, friendly place. And, of course, being so close to McCord Field, and we get an awful lot of Army folks here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and go so fast that you don't really get acquainted with one another, you know. But as far as the old-timers are concerned, there's not many of them left anymore. I guess I'm about one of the oldest old-timers in Parkland. I have a sister that's in a nursing home down at 56 and Orchard. She's 98 years old.
Wow.
But she is very quite active. She was a nurse in Tacoma for...
Oh, really?
I had four sisters that were nurses.
Wow.
And she's the last one of the family outside of myself. And Ruth worked for different doctors in Tacoma. And, of course, a lot of the people here, they worked in the mills, and there were several, a lot of different mills. At one time on the waterfront down there, there were 14 different mills.
Wow.
You know, that takes a lot of
men.
And the smelter. And the mills are all closed down. And, of course, the different stores. There were, Tacoma was the main thing. There wasn't any mall or Lakewood at that time.
Right.
The big shopping was all done in Tacoma.
Downtown.
And doctors and dentists and... They were all in Tacoma.
What are some problems in Parkland right now? Do you see any problems?
Problems with the relationship between Parkland and...
Just within Parkland, living in Parkland.
Well, I don't know. Of course, I don't get up in Parkland very much. Only to go to the post office once in a while. But I think it's wonderful that the group are trying to do something about clean up, you know. Yeah. I think that, see, is her name Kay? Kay and I think she's awfully nice.
Yeah.
Is her husband in the college? Does he teach or something?
I don't know about him, but she works with the college.
Yeah.
She's really
gung-ho
for this project. Do you have children?
I have a niece and a nephew I raised. Okay.
Are they in Parkland?
Yeah. My nephew, my niece, isn't she passed away 5-6 years ago. My nephew lives down the end of this road.
Oh, really?
He has part of the old place. We gave him quite a number of acres, and he has a beautiful place down there with a little lake on it, and he has a plane up here at the airfield.
Wow.
And he went to school in that school there, Parkland, the same school I went to.
Oh, really? Parkland School. Yeah. Do you think...
Jones, his name is Jones. Oh. He was my sister's, Sister Isla's boy. And she passed away when he was just a baby. So I took Bob and Betty and raised them. And Betty went to work in the Giller Ducey's flower shop in Tacoma and worked there for quite a number of years. Bob generally comes around about this time of the day. He has a nice place down there. Big house and a big shop. He was a flyer in the war. So that's why he got this flying bug. So he has a plane up at the airfield of his family. He just come back from Alaska, flying into Alaska just 3-4 days ago.
Wow. That would be too frightening for me. I don't think I could fly.
Did you ever fly in a small plane?
No. I've been on the big ones a lot. But...
Right now, Bob and Betty have their sons, two little boys, and the mother has another boy, three boys, and she's home with the baby, so Bob and Ruth are keeping the kids until she kind of gets settled home.
That's nice. Grandkids are good for a few days, you know. But, let's see. What are the boundaries of Parkland, as you see?
What are the boundaries of Parkland?
Yeah.
Well, gee, I would say Parkland and Spano and Parkland. If you know, maybe 96, that's the city limits. That's on the north.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say about 150 on the south. Be the south boundary, and then of course McCord Field would be the west boundary, and the east boundary would probably be I think it's marked, but I can't remember. Maybe the Golden Given, G-I-V-I-N. Golden Given Road. That one would probably be about the east boundary.
Do you think Parkland is divided into neighborhoods, like military people here, old-timers here, you know, sections?
Well, there isn't very many old timers anymore. You know, they, most of them are gone, or most of them are in nursing homes. I could name half a dozen that are in nursing homes and have sold their place. Just like me, they keep telling me, well, sell your place, sell your place. Well, heck, I may be just as well off here as I would be in a nursing home.
Yeah.
My wife died in 1980. Hmm. And I have two stepsons, too. One of them just finished 32 years in the Navy.
Wow.
Besides 14 years in guided missile work.
Hmm.
As a civilian in guided missile work. And he lives in San Diego.
Hmm.
And then Tom is a salesman for a meat armor people, meat products.
Yeah.
And he is, right now, he is down in Oregon around Astoria. But they're good kids. They come up and see me every once in a while.
Yeah.
But as far as being the military, I think are just scattered all over.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's any one spot in Parkland which are strictly military.
Okay. Would you say that people still look out for their neighbors and...
Look out for what?
Look out for your neighbors. Like, do they... Maybe not, you know, the whole Parkland maybe not is a community, but just like your block or your street, do you think?
Well, just like I said before, that you don't get acquainted with the Army folks very much. You know, they're generally away, and we have Army folks live up here, and mm-hmm. there's some duplexes up here.
Oh.
That, but gee, they come and go. One week they'll be here, and the next week they'll be living some other part. We had one family down here that their name was Howard. They had two little kids, and she was really interested in gardens. This was quite a number of years ago, but I had a wonderful garden out here. I had everything. My wife was alive, and she took an active part in the garden. And we used to visit back and forth a lot. And then he was a captain. He was transferred to Germany.
Mm.
Oh. So I heard from him here about a month ago, and he has hopes of getting out in about another year.
Mm.
And he wants to come back here.
Really?
And he wants to move right down here, he said.
Huh. He likes Parkland.
Yeah.
He really likes it.
They were from Texas. Both him and his wife were from Texas, but he said they were an awful nice couple. They were really very friendly. And she used to come here, and they hadn't been married but 3 or 4 years, and Babe had all kinds of cookbooks, and Babe was a wonderful cook. And she used to teach her a lot about cooking.
Oh. That's always good. Huh. What do you think would draw people like that from... What do you think would draw people from the outside to live in Parkland now?
Well, the good schools, the college, good roads, any improvement, I think, as far as the Parkland goes would have a tendency to draw people. Especially schools, if they're going to raise a family, you know. Schools and the churches, you have your choice of churches. Where are you from?
Olympia.
Where?
Olympia.
Oh, Olympia. Well, there's a nice little town.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
Yeah. Olympia's a nice town. I used to have an aunt that lived there in a theater. She lived in Olympia. Of course, work, but mills, things like that, like in Olympia. The attraction in Olympia would be the capital, I imagine.
Yeah, everybody either works for the state or the brewery.
Yeah.
Mostly the state. Yeah, that's a lot of people in Olympia. For the government.
Olympia's a nice town. It's, you can't call it a small town anymore.
No. We try to keep people out, though. We don't want it to grow.
That's it. You just, well, I suppose that's the way we feel about Parkland. With the college here, I don't know how many people they employ, but boy, they've got a... Now, Roselle, he worked there at college. He has a Japanese wife, Kay, and she works up at the college somewhere in there.
Hmm.
She is the sweetest thing. They had three children, two boys, and the daughter of Barbara works for Weyerhaeuser over at Federal Way. She has a real good job. Beautiful girl. And she's just enough Jap in her. Her face is just like a peach. And the two boys, one's in as charge of the transit or their bus service in one of them towns up there. Excursions to Mount McKinley, and he has the bus service. And one of them is on the state patrol in Olympia, I think.
Oh, really? I think that'll pretty much do it. Oh. Any closing comments?
What?
Any closing comments?
Well, gee, I don't know as I've helped you any.
Oh, this was great. Really.
But, lots of little things come up that, you know, you can talk about. Now, when my this is just something about when my granddad come from Wisconsin to Portland. He had two horses and his wagon. That's all he had. And he got to Portland, and of course he heard, like I said before, about their beautiful plains. They call them the plains. Yeah. An ideal place to raise sheep. So he told his wife, Martha, They had a baby that's 6 months old. And so he told Martha, he says, you stay here in Portland and I'll go up to Stillica or the Puget Sound country. So he walked up from Portland. That's the only way he had to get here.
Wow.
He walked to up here and he come to Stillica. And Stillica was kind of a more of a town than Tacoma was at that time. So he got to Stillica, and someone in Stillica told him about the prairies up here, the big open stretches of pasture land.